Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. I will say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Right? So let's just continue from where we stopped on Sunday. Two things I said I was going to cover today. Turn with me quickly to the book of Luke chapter 6. We're going to start from Luke chapter 6 this beautiful evening, okay? So go all the way to Luke chapter 6 verse 38. Look at Luke chapter 6 verse 38. Alright, so scripture says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, now shall men give into your bosom." Look at that carefully again. "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom." It says, "For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Right, so I'll just read that again one more time. "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure," now don't lose track on the next line, "for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." All right, so one of the things we say in Bible interpretation is, when we want to get to certain conclusions in scriptures, we need to ensure that we are reading the Bible in context. Now, a lot of us have taught this scripture to mean that when you give money, you get more money. Now, none of the apostles, including Jesus, taught that man gets richer or man gets wealthier by giving. In fact, let me say it clearly, no one gets richer by giving. Okay, right? No one gets wealthier by giving. What I mean is, okay, well, some get wealthy by giving, and that's when you see giving in regards to, you know, scripture says the gift of a man maketh way for him, right? So, and what you call bribe, yes, so people can get rich wealthy by giving bribe. But I mean, the concept of giving to God, let's say what we call the giving, the love gift, some call it offering, some call it tithe, whatever you call it, is not a method by which God has designed that man should be rich. Alright, yeah, so you need to be careful that when you pick a scripture, a portion of scripture, it aligns with the overall tone of this scripture, right? So if Jesus never taught that give and it should be, and give, so a lot of us interpret that scripture to be "give, it shall come back to you, good measure." What that really means is 100-fold, 50-fold, 500-fold, yeah, and things like that. But let's do a quick study on this. Now go all the way to verse 26, okay? Go all the way to verse 26 and see what it says there. It says, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak." Hold up. So it means that, so don't forget, verse 38 says, "Shall men give," right? Shall men give, right? Shall men give, okay? So it says, "Woe unto you when all men shall men give," okay? "All men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies," all right? "Love your enemies," okay? "Do good to them which hate you. Bless them which curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you." Right? Now look at the next line, verse 29. "And unto him that smited thee on one cheek, offer also the other," right? "And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy cloak also." Now, the Bible is not teaching that when someone slaps you on your right cheek, literally turn your left cheek to be slapped again. That would be extreme. Are we together? Right? That's not what the Bible is teaching. That's a figurative way of saying, try to ensure or make sure that you resolve your issues quickly. Right? That's what that scripture is saying. Right? So when he's saying, how do you know? Go back to verse 27. I say unto you, love your enemies. That means, so put that in context of verse 28. Luke 6, 28. All right. Bless them that curse you and pray for them that despitefully use you. Right. And unto him that smited thee on one cheek, offer also the other. What is he saying? Unto thee that smites thee on one cheek, let or get into the attitude of trying to see how you resolve conflicts as soon as possible. All right. Yeah. So what is Jesus teaching? He's teaching forgiveness. So he says, love your enemy, bless them that curse you. That's forgiveness. Okay. Right. Don't forget, woe unto you when all men shall speak. So he's talking about conversations around men. Don't forget that, okay? He's talking about conversations around men, okay? So look at verse 30. Give to every man. Don't miss that. Give to every man. So before you get to verse 28, when he says, give and it shall be given unto you, go start from verse 30. He says, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Right, and ye would that men should do to you, do you, and as you would rather that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Right, so he's talking about relationships with men amongst men. Relationships with men amongst men is not the male species, right? Did you get that right? So he's talking about humanity and relationships. So he says, give to every man that asketh of thee, right? Look at verse 32. For if ye love them which love you, what thing have you? For sinners also love those that love them, right? So he's talking about man with relationship or in relationship with other men. All together, right? That's the narrative all the way from verse 26. Okay? And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what things have thee? For sinners also do even the same. Look at verse 34. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thing have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Look at 35 carefully, right? So, but love your enemies. So, if he says, give to every man that asketh of thee, that will be in the narrative of love your enemy, be in the narrative of bless them that curse you, verse 28, and be in the narrative of turn your cheek to the, turn the other side of the cheek to the one that slaps you on the other side of the cheek. Yeah, you get that? So, the concept that is being taught is love, verse 35. But love your enemies, and what? And do good, and lend, hoping for nothing. That means walk in love as an end in itself, okay? Right? Walk in love as an end in itself. That's what it's teaching, summarily, right? And lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful, and to the evil. So the same way God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil is the same way the believer or the saint should be kind unto the thankful and the evil. Yeah. So love your enemies, right? So show love to your enemies. Okay. So those who will withstand. Yeah. There's such a thing called love your enemies. Bless them that what curse you. Okay. So he's saying don't give or don't do something or give something. And the reason for giving something is because you want to hear thank you. Yeah, hearing thank you is good, okay? But what he's teaching here is, you see the Heavenly Father, he gives to the unthankful, he gives to the unthankful, and to those that do evil, right? So that's Luke chapter 6, verse 35. So we've read all the way from verse 26, and we see that Jesus is teaching about relationships within amongst men, right? So look at 36. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. So what is Jesus teaching? Jesus is teaching forgiveness and mercifulness, right? So God, Jesus, is teaching about mercifulness or forgiveness. Did you get that? So every single thing we've read all the way from 26 has been very intense around the love walk. Or has been very intense around relationships among men, right? So look at verse 37. After he told you to be merciful, be therefore merciful as the Father also is merciful, he now tells you in verse 37, judge not and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. So what is Jesus teaching? Jesus is teaching judgment, teaching condemnation, teaching forgiveness, right? So follow attentively, okay? Right? So, verse 35, he says, be ye kind, or be ye like your Father in heaven, hoping for nothing again. Verse 36, be ye therefore merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Verse 37, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Look at 38, give, and it shall be, O gracious saint, O dear saint of whom Christ died for. Jesus cannot be teaching intensely around forgiveness of sins and just remembers a financial nugget, right? A financial principle. And the financial principle is give money and get more money. That wasn't what he was teaching. In fact, John verse 38, and go to verse 39. Look at verse 39. And he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into a ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eyes, but perceiveth not beam as in your eyes? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in your eyes, when thou thyself beholdest the beam, excuse me, that is in your own eye, thou hypocrite? Cast out first the beam, right? And then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in brother's eyes. Look at verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather thee grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You see, nothing in this parable points to a way to multiply money. Nothing in the parable stated earlier on, right, or in the narrative stated earlier on, points to a principle to make money. So Jesus cannot and will not appear in Luke 6:38 and say, give, it shall be given. Right? What is he teaching? Don't forget, we say what he's teaching relationship amongst men. Right? So now, take that idea, let's read verse 38 properly. It says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall what? Shall men. So what is that which men give into your bosom? It has to be around the narrative of forgiveness, judgment, condemnation, mercy that he's been teaching all the way from verse 26. Hallelujah. Right? So verse 37 talks about judgment, talks about condemnation, talks about forgiveness, talks about being merciful, nothing about money. So Jesus wasn't in the middle of a forgiveness class teaching how to multiply money, right? So, you know, people say, it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, right? Shall men give, right? So that is how man gives. So what is Jesus teaching? Jesus is teaching the system of reward amongst the relationship of men, right? For God doesn't give that way. Look at James 1. Go all the way to James 1, verse 5. Go all the way to James 1. So who gives for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Who gives that way? Shall men give into your bosom? Yeah. So how does God give? Go all the way to James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if any man or if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all liberally. So how does God give? God gives to all liberally. Is that the same thing he's been teaching all the way from verse 26? Yes, now. Yeah, love your enemy so that you can be like your father, right? So does God give to all without, what's the word? Liberally. Oh, yes. Because you saw in verse 37, be therefore merciful, the way and pattern that your father has shown you what mercifulness is. Right, or being merciful is, right, that you may be children of your father who is good to the unthankful and to the evil. Yeah, that's our God. Our God gives liberally. Look at that again, James 1:5. Let him ask of God that giveth. So one chief characteristic of God is that he giveth. Another chief characteristic of God is that he giveth liberally, right? He giveth liberally. Yeah, so that is why the Macedonians will have something called the riches of liberality, okay? Yeah, because God in them is the God that gives liberally. What does the God in them give liberally? Don't forget, yeah, the one who gives seed to the sower and bread for food, right? He gives to man liberally. Now, the next line there says, and he upbraideth not. What does that mean? It means he doesn't find fault. Right, so who is to ask? Man is to ask. Who will do the giving? God gives. When God wants to give man, what does God do? God gives, and God gives liberally and upbraideth not. That's the word that upbraideth not means finds no fault, and it shall be given him. Right, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Right, so who is the one that wavers? Man is the one that wavers. Who is the one that doesn't waver? God is the one that doesn't waver. Then Jesus will say, the same way God doesn't waver, you as a believer, as a saint, yeah, you act that way, for he is merciful. Be ye therefore merciful as the Father is. Are we together? So God is the one that gives liberally. So men are the ones that are doing the giving, right? Doing the recompensation, right? In Luke 6, right? So go back all the way to Luke 6. Let's do a quick study there, okay? Go back all the way to Luke 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, okay? Are you there? So, give, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, right? You see, that word there, give, in the Greek, is the word didomi or didomi, right? Didomi, D-I-D-O-M-I. And it's a word that it speaks about or that is used to speak about when something is bestowed or when something is or it means to commit. Right, so give and it shall be given unto what? Unto you. Right, now look at the word there, good. The word there, good, is the word kalos in the Greek. K-A-L-O-S. K-A-L-O-S. And that word is the word that means something that is excellent, something that is beautiful, something that is commendable, or something that is proper. Alright, so to commit, right? So commit and it shall be committed unto you something that is beautiful. Okay, so stop there, right? Now the next word there, measure, is the word metron. M-E-T-R-O-N, metron. Now that word metron is a word that speaks about a passion, a portion rather. A measure or a portion or a part of, right? Something that is measured out of. Right, so good measure, there will be a beautiful portion. Are you following? Right, or a beautiful beautiful part, right? Yeah, so better still, a beautiful or a proper portion. Do you see that? Right, go all the way to Matthew chapter 7 quickly. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Matthew 7, verse 1. Now, I want you to observe something carefully in Matthew 7, verse 1. The Bible says in verse 1, it says, judge not that ye be not judged. Right? Okay, start from verse 2 first. Go to verse 2. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Is that similar to Luke chapter 6, verse 38? Yes. Right? So, Luke 6 and Matthew 7 are teaching the same thing. Judge not, judgment, condemnation, forgiveness. How do you know? Look at verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? Is that the same thing we read in Luke 6? Yes. Right? So go back to verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. Judge not that ye be not judged. Judge not that ye be not judged. So what is being taught? The judgment method amongst the relationship of men or relationship that exist between men. Praise God. All together. So judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure, what do we say is measure? Measure is the word metron, which is the word portion. Did you get that? With what measure ye meet, right? It shall be measured to you again. Are we together? Look at chapter 23 of the same Matthew. Matthew 23 verse 32. Matthew 23 verse 32. He says, verse 31, wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves, that ye are the children of them which kill the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. That's the same word that's used there. Right? So, we said the measure there is speaking about what? Portion. Now, who gives... Go back to Luke 6. Let me show you something, yeah? So, give, it shall be given unto you good measure, press down. So, who gives good measure? God or man? Is man. Yeah, because we said measure is a portion, right? So who gives good measure? Who gives beautiful measure? Is man now. In case you miss it, look at what it says next. It says, give, it says, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men. So who gives good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over? It is men. Look at it now. Shall men give into your bosom? Did you see that? Right? You see, the word there pressed down in the Greek, the word there pressed down is a single word, is the word piezo, P-I-E-Z-O, P-I-E-Z-O. And it's a word that means to pack or to press or to compress, so to say, right? To pack or to compress, that's the word pressed down. So good measure, beautiful portion, packed or compressed, all right? So look at the next one there. The next one there is shaken together. It's a single Greek word. Right, the word shaking together there is the word saleo, S-A-L-E-U-O. Right, and it's a word that can be used for an overthrow, a cast down, right? A motion produced by wind. Right, so he says, in good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. The word running over in the Greek is a single word as well, and it's the word that is hyper echuno. I'll spell that for you. Hyper echuno, that is H-U-P-E-R E-K-C-H-U-N-O. I'll spell that again for you. H-U-P-E-R E-K-C-H-U-N-O. H-U-P-E-R E-K-C-H-U-N-O. And it's a word that means something that overflows or to pour out beyond measure, right? Right? Or to pour forth, something that overflows, something that is over, right? So follow attentively. So we've looked at good measure, looked at press down, look at shaking together, look at running over. He now says something very careful. He says, shall men give into your bosom? Shall men give into your bosom? Now that word there, bosom, it can mean so many things, but we'll come back to that shortly. Now go back to the next verse or the next line. He says, for with the same measure. What's that word same measure going to be? The word same measure there is going to be used as the metron that we explained earlier on under good measure, right? So good measure, that measure means a portion, right? So when it says, for with the same measure, how can you read it? For with the same portion. For with the same portion. Did you get that? For with the same portion. Yeah? For with the same portion, right? Now, what has Jesus been teaching prior to verse 38? Jesus is saying, don't give another man the portion he uses or he brings to your or brings your way. More like Jesus is teaching that you will be intentional about giving a man more than what he would request or he will bring your way or he would deserve, so to say. Right? So for with the same measure that ye meet with tal. Now let's look at the word meet with tal, right? Meet with tal is the same, is a single word in the Greek. M-E-T. R-E-O, that's the word, metro, or metro, yeah, we can call it metro, M-E-T-R-E-O, and it's a word that means to measure, right, to measure, right, so, for with the same measure that ye measure, it shall be measured to you again. Did you see that? It shall be measured to you again. So all this is pointing to a reward system amongst men. Right? So nothing about money is being mentioned. He's been talking about judgment, talking about forgiveness. He says, judge not, Matthew 7. So Jesus wasn't teaching the character of God. Jesus wasn't teaching the character of God as God who gives when you give him. No, it is God who gives without finding fault. So what does God give from Luke 6:36? He is a merciful God, so he gives forgiveness, right? So that is why he says, "Be ye therefore like your Father who gives." So God does not act or give to man what man brings to the table. Are we together? Right? So in the real sense, we see that God doesn't give, doesn't judge, doesn't forgive because you gave or because you forgave. Are we together? Right? In the real sense, we see God leading a template of what? Giving that which is more than man brings. Right, so look at that carefully. Give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shake it together. Right, so all those pressed down, shake it together, running over. Well, in the real sense, in narrative, that is the way men give into your bosom. Right, so men give into your bosom. How do you know it's the same way men give to your bosom? That's why it tells you, for with the same measure that it is the same measure that you bring that man brings to you. Did you get that? Right? But what is it teaching? So look at it though. Ideally, when a man slaps you, what do? The same measure, you slap back. Yeah? Did you get that? Right? But so you give in the real sense, or when you slap someone, it shall be given unto you. So all those good measure, press that shake together and over, it is the way man will give you back. But a man with the heart of Jesus, with the heart of God, will be from verse 35. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. Right? So, verse 38 says, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That's the way man gives. Right? So, shall men give into your bosom talks about the system of men giving in reciprocation amongst other men. So, men reciprocate good with good. Men reciprocate bad with bad. Are we together? A poor Bible interpretation will teach that as when you give God, God now owes you. But when God wants to give you back, it is good measure pressed down. That means, we say it this way. What God will now give you back will be so plenty that if they give you basket, you have to press it inside first. You know how, for instance, when you have a laundry, a dirty clothes, your dirty clothes laundry, and you have a basket, right? You know how if every day of the week, when you finish your day, you throw your dirty clothes into the basket. You know what happens? The basket all of a sudden, after 2-3 days, is filled up, right? So what do you do on the fourth day? Because you want it to accommodate more, you press it down. So that's how we think. So we say that, when you give, God will now take that your basket, and what? He will give you a solid good measure. He will press it down, then shake the basket together, then now pour more so it will run over. No, that is the way shall men give into your bosom. Did you get that? Shall men give into your bosom? You see, so Paul did not teach the Macedonians that give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, press down, shake it together. What did Paul teach the Macedonians? You see, the same way our Father is the one that gives liberally without finding fault, is the same way we give liberally altogether, that we might be children of our Father, that we might be children of our Father, that we might be children of our Father. Altogether, right? Now, look at some of the practices that some of us do as sins. Go to Acts chapter 8, verse 18. Go to Acts chapter 8, verse 18. Acts chapter 8, verse 18. You see, we need more men like this. Acts chapter 8, verse 18. Look at verse 18 of Acts chapter 8. It says, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, right? He offered them money, that is, give, yeah, so that it shall be given unto you, right? Now, so he offered them money, saying, give me also this part. So it means the reason why Simon gave them money is so that he can receive of their power. So he said, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now, so what did Peter teach? Peter said unto him, your money perishes with thee. You see, we need more men to be able to confrontationally make this kind of bold statements to people. Are we together? Right? So Peter is teaching that you don't partake of the grace of God by giving. Are we together? Are we together? You don't partake, right? You don't sow seed to partake, right? So it is that to whom much is given, much is expected. It is that that which you've been freely given, you give freely. Yeah? Jesus taught that. Remember that, right? That which you've received freely, give freely. Right, that's so. That was Peter's mindset when he saw somebody bring money to him and say, "Oh, you see the way you lay hands on people. I want to lay hands on people so that this can happen." No, so they brought money. So look at it again, saying, "Give me also this power." Verse 19, that whosoever I lay hands in may receive the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 20. But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perishes with thee, or perish with thee, because thou art taught that the gift of God may be purchased with money." Now, who is the one that wants to receive from God and he thinks he needs to give something first to receive from God? He is the one that thinks that you can purchase the things of God with money. Are we together? Yeah? So a man that says, oh, I want to receive something for God. Oh, I want God to protect my family in 2024. And because of that, I give God. Eh? He is the one who thinks that what he can purchase that which is the gift of God or the things of God by giving money, right? So many of us as pastors, we need to be able to boldly say things like your money perishes with you. Right? We might not say it in those clear terms, but we should be able to communicate that which is the truth. Are we together? Right? So Peter did not say, bring it, bring it, bring it. Money is money. We need, you see, some people say we need money to propagate the gospel. Yeah, whilst we know that, it doesn't mean we take money from a concept that insinuates that you can purchase the love of God. You can purchase the gift of God. Are we together? So what did Peter say? Thy money perishes with thee, right? Because thou art thought that the gift. Now, mind you, if Simon had taken money, right? And if somebody takes money, for instance, and takes money to give as a gift, right? You know, a lot of times, Simon is one of the few people who would have voiced out what he wants to really get to the person he wants to get something from. Do you understand? You know, in our world today, what happens? We see people take offerings or take things and put in their mouth and say they send it on assignment. You are sending money on assignment, right? You see, the people that really send money on assignment are those who, in the real sense, stay in their house, working for no one, yet money is producing more money for them. Those are those that send money on assignment. You see, not to take your seed and you take your money and you say, oh, I brought a shepherd necker. Well, you spoke in tongues, you spoke well. You know, one of the things I tell you is that when you pray in tongues, you pray well. So when you give your seed assignment, you know, this seed, it is a seed to connect, right? That next year, I will no longer live in 20 bedroom apartments. I want to go to 700 bedroom apartments. Fire by the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you see, that is what Simon did. The difference is that the one puts the money in his mouth and speaks to it. So you see, as I'm giving this money to this man of God, as he touches my money, right? That is another way of seeing it. But Simon, bold enough, we say, you see, Oga Peter, I have this money. I see you lay hands and this happens. I want to be able to do what you do. Yeah, that is the same thing. The difference is that one is just vocal. Both of them are vocal. Just that one is vocal to the person. All together. So what should Peters be doing? We should have more Peters who will say, your money perishes with you. Or we have more Peters who will speak to those people who are doing, right? That are speaking into money to send it on an errand. Yeah, we need more Peters to say to them, you really can't do that to collect from God. Because God is the one that gives liberally. God is the one that gives and upbraided not. God is the one that gives and doesn't find fault. He gives and gives because he's a giver. So God doesn't give because you give. God gives because he's a giver. That's his characteristic, or that's his character. That's his nature. That's something fundamental about his person. Did you get that? Right? So we need more examples of people who says, so look at verse 21. It says, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Right? Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. Well, in the real sense, God in the real sense is the one that offers forgiveness. So who should do something with forgiveness in Acts chapter 8? It is the one that needs forgiveness. Because God offers forgiveness. So look at it though. What Simon did was terrible. But it is not because Simon will ask that God will now supply forgiveness. No, it is that God supplies forgiveness either Simon is Simon or Simon is non-Simon, right? So what does Simon do, or what does Simon need to do? Simon needs to now receive of that which God gives. Did you get that? Right? So back to Luke 6, we said, give, it shall be given unto you, good measure. So ideally, man's system teaches that peradventure the things of the gift of the Spirit, of the gifts of God, is operated in man's system. What will man's system do in Acts 8? Peter, the one with the anointing or the gift of God, right, will see somebody giving money. So it is give, it shall be given unto you. That's a purchase, right? That's you are trying to buy or something. So I would say, well, you cannot purchase. In fact, bold of you to think that you can purchase the gift of God with money. That's what Peter will say. Are we together? So give, it shall be given unto you. It has nothing to do about money and not used for offering time. Now let's go to 2 John. I told you I'm going to teach two things today, okay? So look at 2 John of 3 John verse 1. Look at 3 John verse 1 quickly. 3 John verse 1. So let's read the scripture that a lot of us used to take out of context. John, first, 3 John, it has just one chapter, I believe. Yep. 3 John, right, chapter 1, verse 2. It says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, one of the things we want to do as well is to bring that principle we applied in Luke 6 and apply it in 3 John. And what is that principle? Read in context, right? So a lot of us are going to a conclusion that states that God wants John, or John rather, right? Right. So who is the book of 3 John written to? Look at verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, right? Whom I love in the truth. So John is writing to the man Gaius. Are we together? So what is he saying to the man? He's saying, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. So some of us have thought that, oh, Paul was wishing that Gaius will be materially prosperous. Well, that's very ridiculous to think, because in the real sense, John, 3 John, the same author of 3 John is the author of Revelation and the author of John, right? And nothing in his narrative or his book illustrates a sense or gives a sense of man prospering materially and calling it a wish of the Lord or something like that, right? So let's pay a little attention to 3 John. Now, the word I wish there is the word there that I can say I pray. So Paul can say, beloved, I pray above all things that thou may prosper. Now, that word pray will mean to desire. Yeah? So, I desire. So, it means that, so, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. So, I desire. So, Paul is desiring something or praying for something for Gaius. Right? I pray above all things, that above all things, that thou mayest prosper. Right? Even as your soul prosper. Are we together? Now, it now says, and be in health, even as your soul prosper. Now, and be in health, many think being in health is material or physical as well. Even as your soul prospers, right? Now, aside from Romans, the apostles generally will write the epistles to respond to questions, right? Acts, a lot of times, are we together? So the epistles generally will open with greetings and thanksgiving, which focuses on what? The spiritual soundness as well as riches in the saints, right? So it starts with a greeting that will focus on the spiritual soundness of the saints, then to go into the body, then to close in similar pattern like the opening, right? Like reassure. Right, so let's do something. Let's read the entire letter of 3 John. Are we together? Let's read it properly without reading verse 2. So let's read verse 1 and let's read verse 3. So we're reading from verse 1 into verse 3 all the way to the end of the book. See what it says? It says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified. Is that similar to what Paul would say to Philemon? Go to Philemon. No, read this first. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Alright, go to Philemon. Go to Philemon. Go to Philemon. Go to Philemon chapter 1. Are you in Philemon chapter 1? Look at verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Is that similar? Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun the good work in you will perform it, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bodies of Christ Jesus. Look at verse 9. And at this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve the things excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense in the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Are we together? Right? You see Colossians. Paul will do the same thing in Colossians, right? Colossians chapter 1. He will say in verse... look at verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Same thing, right? They give thanks for something and they pray for something. You see that, right? Since we had... So what are they giving thanks for? They are giving thanks for something. They are giving thanks for the soundness in which they hear of, and they are praying for something. Okay, so he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, what does that really mean? That is of the love which ye have to all the saints, similar to Gaius. We'll come back to this shortly. But go to 2 Corinthians, 3 John rather. So we are removing verse 2 of 3 John and reading verse 1 all the way to the end. Right, you will see that nothing suggests material wealth. Are we together? So look at verse 3 again. For I rejoice greatly. What is I rejoice greatly? It's similar to I give thanks, making mention of you. Yeah. Don't forget, it's also in Ephesians. I cease not to give thanks of you, making mention of you in my prayer. Right? That the Lord, I cease not to give thanks. So there's a thanksgiving, there's a mention in prayer. I cease not to give thanks of you, making mention of you in my prayer. That the Lord of our, yeah? Yeah, so you right. So verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Don't forget, we need to understand this book in context. Now look at verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. So it means that there's something good that John is doing. Are we together? And the news is being voiced or heard. Are we together? Now, so it says, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a goodly sort, thou shalt do well. Verse 7. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Now, verse 9 says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not contend therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, verse 11, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. We saw something like that when Paul mentioned Alexander the coppersmith, okay? Right, on Sunday, right? Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Now, Demetrius had good report of all men. So Paul is mentioning men and their works, right? So Demetrius had good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Right, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be unto thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Altogether, nothing in this. You see, what was Paul talking about from the first line to the second line? Everything spiritual, or things around things of the spirit, or things around spiritual things. Particularly those who are living according to the truth and those who are living outside of the truth. Did you get that? Right? So that's what Paul has been talking about since. Now let's go back to verse 2. So imagine you now end verse 13. But I trust I shall see this shortly. After I read verse 14, what we'll do is what? We'll now go back and what? Read verse 2. Right? Yeah. Don't forget, the prayers of the epistles generally will be to thank God for something and pray for something to continue. All spiritual. Yeah, so that's what Paul will say, blessed be our God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:3, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Okay? Right. So let's read verse 14 of 3 John, verse 13 and 14, and go back and read verse 2. Right? So look at verse 13. Look at verse 12. Demetrius had good report of all men and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you. Right, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Right, peace be unto thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Are we together? Now, let's take those words gradually. Now, the word prosper there is a word that means to have a good journey. Yeah, a good journey. Are we together? That's the same word that Paul used himself, 1 Corinthians 16. We read that earlier on in this teaching series, where he says, let every man give as he prospers, okay? Right? To have good success, a good journey, right? To have a successful path ahead, right? So you have a success. So it means that this prosperity is about a successful journey. Are we together? Look at how Paul uses that same word in Romans chapter 1, verse 10. We're looking at the word prosper, Romans 1:10. Are you there? Romans 1 verse 10. Look at verse look at verse 8. Similar to 3 John, similar to Colossians, similar to Ephesians, similar to Philemon. Similar, right? First, verse 8, Romans 1:8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Is that the same thing? Yeah, for God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. Is that the same thing? Yes, all spiritual. So first think about something spiritual, then pray about something spiritual. All right, so he says, I without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. Same thing, Ephesians, I cease not to give thanks for making mention of you in my prayer. What is the prayer of Paul in Romans? Making requests. If by any means now at length I might have a prosper, that's the word prosperous, a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. I might have a prosperous, so the entire prosperous journey in the Greek, let me give the Greek word, is a single word in the Greek. And it's the word that actually is seen as eudo, E-U-O-D-O-O. Right? It means to grant a prosperous and expeditious journey, to lead by a direct and easy way, or to grant a successful issue, or to be successful, or to have good success. Are we together? It means to complete or accomplish something without hiccups. Do you understand? So what is Paul praying? Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a successful journey without hiccups, by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts. Yeah, so this is going to help you in the next series we're going to do, or the next two series we're going to do. Impartation. There's such a thing called physical impartation. Yeah, there's a lot that happens when the physical body of one or another, a physical meeting from one to another, a lot happens. Yeah, so Paul is saying, well, it's good I'm writing this letter, but I long to see you that I may impart unto you, right, to the end that ye may be established. So there's such a thing called what? Impartation. Yeah, and that will be done face to face. Yeah, you get that, right? Anyways, so look at Romans 15 verse 31. Romans 15 31. Romans chapter 15 verse 31. Right, Romans 15:31. It says that I may be delivered. Look at verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. What is the prayer? That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Verse 32. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be what? Be refreshed. Right? So Paul anticipates a successful journey that what? That would involve a successful or deliverance, right? That would so in the real sense, that would involve, he's talking about his knowledge about the usual dose of persecution he usually goes through. So it's when he's saying, I pray that I will come to you or have a prosperous journey. It is another way of praying in Second Thessalonians that you may be delivered from evil men. It makes it clear in Romans 15. Are we together? Right. So go back all the way to Third John, verse 1. Alright. So go back to Third John, verse 2, sorry. So go back to Third John, verse 2. So beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. So what is John saying? Above all things means as touching or concerning all things. Right? So I wish. What is I wish? I pray. What is I pray? I desire. Right, so I desire that concerning all things or as touching all things, right, it will mean that these things that John writes to girls is in Third John. Are we together? I wish above all things. Another way you can look at that is I wish above all these things. Yeah, I've taught you before, I can do all these things through Christ, right? And these things are found within the context of Philippians chapter 4. You get that, right? So, I wish above all these things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. And so, it means that whatever you're thinking about as all things must be within the confines of 3 John. And John doesn't mention anything about finance. Doesn't mention anything about career. So, John's prayer was on account of the testimony of the brethren. Remember, we saw in 2-3 other episodes, there will be a testimony of the brethren and a continuous prayer. We saw that, right? Saw that in Romans, right? In Ephesians, we saw that in Philippians, saw that in Colossians, yeah? We can keep seeing it on and on. So, John's prayer was on account of that which was said that was well, on account of the testimony of the brethren who had seen the evidence of what? Evidence of the truth, right? How do you look at verse 3? I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth. So it means that men were reporting that of a truth, the truth, or Gaius walked in the truth of the truth. Are we together? Right? For I rejoice greatly, 3 John 1:3, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Right? So his rejoicing was not about, oh, you got a better job, you got a better house, you bought a new car. No, his rejoicing was centered around the fact that it was said of Gaius that he walked in the truth. Are we together? Look at First John. You would have read First John. Look at First John quickly. First John 3:18. So Paul in First John 3:18 has spoken about that which is good. Look at verse 16. 1 John 3:16. He says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So when a man does this that John says we should do in 1 John, what is the man doing? The man is walking in the truth. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need. So it means that the brethren reported to John about Gaius that he was doing these things. Right? Whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and showed up his brother of compassion from him, have great love one in him. Look at verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So Gaius is an example of one who loves in truth and in deed, not just in words. Did you get that? Look at 2 John 1 verse 2. 2 John 1 verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Look at verse 2. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. So the deed of truth. So what exactly, if you look at verse Verse 1 again. He says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, are not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. So the deed of truth, how else can you call that? Yeah? He who had this was good, and shuttered up his bowels of compassion. By perceiving the love of God, he laid down his life, so we also lay down our life. What is that? Walking in the deed of truth, or what you call the love walk. Right? Is that what you call the riches of liberality? Altogether. So you can talk about the churches of Macedonia who walked in the truth, like Gaius or Gaius. Are we together? Right? So John was excited that Gaius excelled in the riches of liberality, the same way Paul was excited that the Macedonians excelled in the riches of liberality. Right? So John was excited about the good conduct that was exhibited by what? John. By Gaius, right? Gaius, rather. And Paul was excited about the good conduct that was exhibited by who? The Macedonians. Altogether. So John was really, really excited of testimonies he heard about how Gaius responded, right, with the riches of good conduct to God's word, and by which he blessed the saints. Altogether. Right? So we've looked at the first word, prosper. Prosper means successful without hiccup. So I wish above all things that thou may prosper, right? As you journey, you are successful without hiccups. Now look at the next word, health. Now the next word, health, can be used in as different narrative. It can be used for physical health, and can be used for spiritual health, and can be used for wholeness, right? So healing, similar to healing. So healing can be used for spiritual healing or physical healing. You see, that's why that scripture that says, by his stripes we are healed. The healed there is speaking about the forgiveness of sins. Okay? Right? So look at some examples. Look at Luke 7 verse 10. Luke 7, 10. Let's see a few. Okay? Luke chapter 7 verse 10. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole. Right? Whole, that he had been sick. That means he's whole. That's the word whole. That's the same word health. So health can be figurative to refer to the new birth, and health can be physical to refer to physical healing. Right? Look at Luke chapter 5. Look at Luke chapter 5, verse 31. Luke 5, 31. And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need no physician. This hold here, this is sarcasm. This is Jesus being sarcasm and being sarcastic. This is a figure of speech, right? Is used to refer to Pharisees as those who are sick. And look at that again. Jesus answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. That's sarcasm, right? He was referring to the Pharisees as those that are sick. Yeah, right? He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So the Pharisees were those who would think. How do you know? Go back to verse 30. The scribes and Pharisees murmured against Jesus' disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Right? Jesus did not say, well, the whole needs no physician. So it means that he's referring to those people sarcastically as those who are sick. But he will say the whole needs no physician. Right? But they that are sick are those that need physicians. Right? I came not for the righteous, but for sinners to repentance. That's sarcasm, right? Look at Luke 16. Luke 16, 15. Luke 16, 15. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Right? Yeah? So, what did Jesus say? Similar to the previous one. Yeah? He was saying that the Pharisees assumed that they had righteousness before men. And if they had been righteous, they would have been what? Cooperating with God in reaching out to sinners in the real sense. So, in reality, the Pharisees were also sinners that needed repentance. That's the narrative of what has been spoken about in Luke 5 and Luke 16. So, Jesus will use humor. He will use sarcasm. He will use irony. So the sick will be sinners who needed to repent. Examples will be the Pharisees. Are we together? So health can be used to talk about physical. There can be used to talk about spiritual. So Jesus. So this I showed you one. One is about the whole, which is a physical healing. And one, when it says, let he that is whole needs no physician, right? And that one is figurative. That would be the spiritual status of a man. So health can be used to talk physically, can be used to talk spiritually. But so in the narrative of the Pharisees, Jesus is the physician who supplies salvation as the medicine, or supplies salvation as healing to the sinner. Are we together? Right, so that's talking. So it means that a new birth can be considered as what, whole or sound health. Yeah, so follow attentively. Now the next one is the word soul. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Let's look at the word soul. Right, soul refers to a person, a people, or a state of a person. Are we together? Soul refers to a state of a person or people, so to say. How do you know? Look, let me show you two examples in Acts. I have more than that, but let me just show you two. Acts 2:41, okay? Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about what? 3,000 souls. About 3,000 souls. Souls, that's the word souls, the same word, yeah, suche, right? Look at Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, right? Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God, right? Look at 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, yeah, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So basically, we see that the word soul usually is referred to or refers to the total person that is mind, body, spirit, right, taken together as one. So John was referring to Gaius's total well-being, being a whole man. A whole man, rather. So, what was it? Was go back to Third John, chapter 1, verse 2. Yeah. So it says, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So, what is John referring to? Referring to the well-being, the wholeness of the man Gaius, not his mind, not his body, his person. Together, right? Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Titus 2, verse 1. It says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, right? Sound doctrine. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. Are we together? Sound in faith. You see, the word there, sound, there is the word health or healthy. Right? You see that word? But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That's the word healthy doctrine. Right? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words. Right? Sound words. What is sound words? That is words that are healthy, devoid of error. Altogether, right? So go back all the way to 3 John. Let me try wrap up that narrative. There's a lot to say there yet more, but let me try bring draw it home for you, okay? So if it says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, we've looked at the word health there, replacing the word sound in sound doctrine or sound words, healthy doctrine, right? So what is James or John teaching? So, health in 3 John, according to John, would speak about being sound or complete, being healthy. In regards to what? In regards to what? Being free from doctrinal errors. Yeah? So, or to be on the side of that which is truth. So, if you look at later verse, that will show you that being in health would be talking about walking in the truth instead of yielding to error. That's why he gave an example of one who yielded to error. Are we together? So, Gaia's does not need bodily healing. Yet nothing illustrates that. You get that, right? So I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. So that health there, nothing shows that Gaius needed bodily healing, right? However, we see that Gaius was walking in the truth. So Gaius was to continually grow spiritually would be the interpretation of prosper and be in health. Yeah, prosper and be in health. Did you see that? Yeah, prosper and be in health. What is prosper? Have a successful journey. Right? Journey in what? Journey in soundness or in spiritual maturity or spiritual doctrine. All together. So John's prayer was to pray that saints prosper, or the Gaius in his new sense, will prosper. That is, he will complete or continue in the journey towards being what? Healthy. What is the health? Spiritual health. Right? Spiritual soundness. Yeah, that's why I showed you an examples of Paul in Philemon. Look, another example in Philippians. Philippians 1 verse 9. Philippians 1 verse 9. Don't forget, we saw that, we saw Philemon as well. Look at Philippians 1 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Go to verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound. Yeah? How else could Paul be praying for the Philippians? And this I pray, that thou mayest prosper. Yeah? That means you continue in that spiritual journey. You continue in that spiritual growth. You continue in spiritual maturity. I pray that your love may abound yet more and more. That means I wish above all things that ye prosper, right? And be in health. That means be in the soundness, in the wholeness. Right, of the concept of the truth or the concept of the love. Look at it again. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgments, that ye may approve things that are excellent. That's to Gaius. So Paul could pray, so John could pray this prayer to Gaius, but John decided to use, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be what? In hell. So regardless of what is happening around, right, that thou may prosper, that means you have a successful journey, right? That, and you being in health, that in soundness of doctrine. Right, in soundness of doctrine, right? So John wanted to see that continuation in the spiritual growth of Gaius. Why? Because the next thing he says to them is that, oh, I've heard of the testimony from the brethren. Are we together? Right? So go all the way to 3rd John. Let's try and wrap it up again. 3rd John. If you go all the way to 3rd John verse 9, he says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, right, Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Right? So, if you look at verse 12, Demetrius had good report of all men. So, Demetrius is an example of one who is prospering and in good health. You see that? Right? So, Demetrius had good report of all men. The same way Gaius had good report of all men. Right? The brethren have testified that, he is doing well. Right, so Demetrius had good report of all men and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. So Gaius was known for good deeds. Demetrius was known for good deeds. What is Paul's prayer? So the same way Paul will know the Philippians for good deeds, he will say, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more. So I know you for love, but I pray that your love may abound yet more and more. That you continue to walk and you continue to grow in this spiritual journey that you are on. Do you understand? So, the same way Gaius was known for good deeds, Demetrius was known for good deeds, Philemon was known for good deeds, right? Look at Philemon. I think the first one we read was, look at Philemon. I don't think we read Philemon today. Philemon. Look at Philemon chapter 4. Look at Philemon chapter 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer. Did you see that? That's similar to 3 John 1, right? Right? I cease not to give thanks, similar to Philippians, right? So, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer, hearing of thy love and faith. So, John could say this to Gaius. Well, Gaius, of a truth, I see that you're walking in truth. I cease not to make mention of you in my prayers. Even having heard of your love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord, how does he have it towards the Lord? Towards all the saints. You remember that teaching? That the communication of your faith Another way to say the conclusion of your faith just really means that thou mayest prosper and be in good health. Yeah. And that thou mayest prosper. So on this spiritual journey that you are on, that you remain in wholeness, you remain in soundness, right? Erring of their love that you feel with the heart towards the Lord and towards all the saints, that the communication of the faith may become more effectual. What is that it become more effectual? That you may prosper. Because you are on a journey, you need to prosper. That the communication of the faith will become more effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ. How else can you read every good thing which is in you in Christ? Into bracket, the truth. By the acknowledging of the truth. Did you remember? First John has told us, hereby perceive the love of God, in that he laid down his life, we ought to lay down our lives as well for the brethren. Did you get that? Right? Same thing in second John. So another example like that. So Gaius was known for doing good deeds. And John was praying that Gaius may increase and abound yet more in the love work or in the knowledge of the truth. Just the same way Demetrius, for instance, as an example of good deeds, right, is the same way Gaius was to advance. So let's close here. Okay, look at Second Romans 16:17 quickly. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that cause division and offense and contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the heart of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men, and I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under his feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You know, amen. So you see lots of those, you know, things well, you know, spoken about across the epistles. And that's the same thing that John was praying for Gaius, right? So I've taken your two scriptures, right? Or I've taken the scriptures from you, right? That a lot of those times we use for prosperity. Give, it shall be given unto you. We explain what that means. I will explain the second one. I wish above all things that thou mayest what? Prosper and be in good health, even as your soul, your whole being prospereth. Right, so that's a narrative that John will be telling Gaius, similar to the narrative in other epistles. Now, Sunday we're going to continue where we stopped regarding, you know, the giving the giving to your pastor. You know, we spoke about the giving to your pastor, started it on Sunday, and we thought we were going to look at it again today, but we're going to continue that on Sunday and just say some more things that Scripture has taught. Right, we ended. Let's just end there. First Timothy. Let's go to 1 Timothy 5. Verse 17. Let's just close there for today. It's 1 Timothy 5:17. Yeah, I took you to 2 Peter 3:1 or chapter 5 rather, or 1 Peter 5. Is it 1 Peter or 2 Peter? Let me check that. 1 Peter 5:1. Yeah, should be 1 Peter. Yeah, 1 Peter 5:1. Let the elder, lead in example and all of that. We saw that on Sunday. Then Paul now says, let the elder that rules well, or let the elders that rule well, be counted worthy of double honor. Especially they who labor in what? In the word and in doctrine. All together. Well, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way today.